Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday today. It's quite windy down here in Florida. I think we're getting some wind from this whole snowstorm that you guys are getting up northeast right now. So it's actually gotten fairly chilly down here in Florida for what it is. But other than that, it's still a great sunny day. And how are you doing up there, Deb?
Awesome. Doing great. It's snowing here. It's about, 38 degrees, overcast skies, snow. But it's okay. And this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. I had made a decision to come up here because the Harrisons graduated from college in April or in May. And I needed to spend some time to get some work done up here. And now I find out that they can't get much work done up here when it's raining and snowing every day. what I like is it rains and then everything freezes. and then you got to deal with ice. And so, so now I understand why it's difficult to do a lot of construction work and building and anything up here in North Carolina or any part of the Northeast during the winter, even all the way into March or April, because of just the amount of downtime that you have. So it's been an interesting experience. This is an article I want to cover with you guys today. A 13-year-old girl is dead after a 9-year-old brother gets mad at her over a video game. This is in Tupelo, Mississippi. A 13-year-old girl is dead in Monroe County after authorities say she was shot Saturday by her 9-year-old brother. Sheriff Cecil Cantrell said the girl would not give up the video game controller when her brother wanted it. Cantrell said she was shot in the back of the head with a .25 caliber handgun and the bullet went through her brain. The girl was rushed to Le Bonheur's Children's Hospital in Memphis, where she died Sunday at 6:35 p.m. Now, the reason I want to start off with this story, as morbid as it is that I want to give you guys a little bit of a warning. A lot of kids are given free rein at a very young age, playing things like Modern Warfare and very, very graphic and very, very, very intense video games. Now, the U.S. Army uses these video games now to condition the brain that killing people is okay. It basically uses the video games to condition people that putting a knife in people is okay, or throwing a hand grenade is okay, or committing mass murder and trying to clear a building out is okay. Now, the problem with all of this, with the developing brain with a young child, they don't have concrete rational skills at that point. Because, you know, when they get shot, they jump back up, they start running around shooting more, you get a do-over over and over and over again. Now, there's a reason the military uses this. Most people, and they saw this in World War One. They had a real problem with it in World War One when they were drafting people in for World War One. They found that about 60% of the people who fired their weapons during the war, even in active combat, intentionally missed the target they were shooting at. They tried not to shoot people because internally we as human beings simply know you shouldn't be killing people. And they found that they had to do something about that. Now, that wasn't as bad in World War II because they were much better at marketing as far as, you know, calling the Germans, you know, Krauts and dehumanizing them and calling the Japanese their names and all the different things because they wanted to dehumanize them so they wouldn't be human with a soldier trying to shoot one of them because we don't like shooting other humans. That's one of the reasons the military does that. I have a good friend of mine. She's a full bird colonel and she worked in basically computer warfare. And I remember one day she came by the house and we were playing a video game on the big screen. And she goes, oh, wow, this is the same video game that we use to train special ops and how to desensitize these folks when they're playing these games on how to kill people more efficiently. Okay, so what happens is when you get a 9-year-old kid here who's used to shooting people over and over and over again in a video game and his 13-year-old sister who doesn't want to give up the video game, and he decides he's going to go ahead like he does in all the other video games because he doesn't really understand what he's doing at the age of 9 and puts a bullet in her head. And that's sad. It's really, really sad because that child should not have had access to a handgun at that young of an age, or he should have been trained properly, or he should have just had the gun locked up, to be honest with you. His parents should have had it. And so now we have a tragedy here in Mississippi where this kid just basically puts a bullet through his 13-year-old sister's head. Now, he's going to have to deal with that the rest of his life. Now, he's probably not going to be charged with it as an adult. We can't because he's only 9 years old. The parents are probably going to get charged because of a negligent storage of a firearm. But the reality is, guys, think through what you're letting your children watch on video games. Think through what they're playing and how they're being desensitized to these types of games. I had another friend of mine. He was basically playing it all the time. His young kid was playing it all the time. He's like 10 years old, playing it. His older brother had left it at the house. And all of a sudden, the 10-year-old kid starts chasing his sisters around the house with a doggone knife. I mean, and, you know, thinking it was cool because he's seen it on the game. Guys, this kind of stuff you have to be very, very careful with this. You've got to monitor it and realize what these kids are putting into their brains. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, you're so accurate. I mean, yes, the first aspect is if you have firearms in your house, they need to be stored and locked up properly, especially if you have kids. You can't be leaving stuff just laying around, allowing these kids to have access to it. I mean, if you don't have a safe at the time and you're trying to save up money for one, at least keep the weapons completely out of reach and unavailable to them and unloaded. You know, most handguns, even for a young child, you know, they're difficult to rack the slide back and chamber around and get the firearm actually ready to discharge. And so for this kid to have the ability to basically get mad, run in the other room, go grab a pistol, run behind her, shot her in the back of the head, so she obviously wasn't even paying attention. She was so engulfed in the game, and he was able to do it so fast. And it's sad, man. I mean, that's a really, really sad story that should never have even had to happen. But as Dad said, too, we're allowing this generation to reach a whole nother level of desensitization of death and violence and destruction, because even back the earlier games, you know, when you had like the original Nintendo and Mario Kart and stuff like that, those games, the graphics on them were poor at best. I mean, they really were. I mean, you had a very difficult time, even from the brain, looking at them and going, okay, that's, you know, that's fake, this is real. The video games they have now with a lot of the new consoles are so advanced. When you watch them, it's difficult even for an adult sometimes on some of these commercials that you see them blast to even figure out, you know, is this complete animation? Is this partial? Is this a movie? Is this a video game? And that's what they're playing now. And these kids don't know the difference. And so it's sad that that happened, but it's definitely a testament of what everybody needs to be aware of, is that a lot of these games are not suitable for younger audiences. There's a reason why they put on them, these games are rated M for mature audiences only, 17 and older. Now, granted, that doesn't stop it from you giving it to your child at 8 or 9 or 10 years of age. But it doesn't matter. They list it on there for a reason. So if your kid does have a video game, if they're using it for, you know, excess time, or they want to play on it occasionally with a restricted amount of time, make sure you're getting games that are suitable for what they are. If the game says M for mature audiences, 17 and older, you don't need it for your 9-year-old. You don't need it for your 13-year-old. You really don't even need it for your 14 or 15-year-old. There's a reason why it's rated M. It's just like when they rate movies R. You can go see them with a 5-year-old if you want to. Is it really a good choice? Probably not. Also, too, in other news, you guys saw the Austin bombing suspect supposedly has killed himself now in basically a police chase. He blew the bomb up supposedly in his car when the police surrounded his vehicle after he pulled over in a ditch. Very, very odd situation. It's basically the individual was a 23-year-old Mark Anthony Condon, supposedly working on his own. So what they did now, the ATF went and found that, you know, there were common household ingredients in these bombs. So they started going to the local stores, scanning receipts. They actually started going to all the stores and started requesting the receipts. They saw multiple purchases basically for the same items. They narrowed it down that it was the individual Mark Anthony Condon after they looked at the video record. Then supposedly they started got a warrant for his IP address. And they showed that he was basically making Google searches that were suspicious. And then they saw a surveillance video of him dropping off a package at a FedEx store. Then they got a warrant for his cell phone and tracked him to a hotel and then basically chased him down from there. I don't know what the reason why this kid was involved in it, if he was the only one involved in it. I have no idea. The only thing that's always suspect to me is how many times in the past we have seen the FBI wrapped up and actually setting up, contributing, and even giving individuals the ideas and the materials to make bombs, so then they can turn around and actually thwart the terrorist attack or the bomb attack. So I don't know if this guy was working alone. I have no idea. I'm glad if he's the only one involved. I'm glad they have found him, though. But definitely some weird stuff going on out there, Dad. So, but at least supposedly this is going to be done for now.
The sad part about it is that we're having to question the entire narrative and the entire thing, because we've been lied to so much by the CIA and the FBI and the NSA that we don't know who to believe anymore. Period. That's just the bottom line. Because, you know, like Casey said, the former head of the CIA, we'll know whether our job has been done at the CIA when everything that every American believes is a lie. I mean, who even says stuff like that? By the way, lead exposure may be the hidden cause of 412,000 deaths each year in the United States. According to a new study published in the Lancet Public Health, up to 400,000 deaths a year can be attributed to lead exposure. The study also claims exposure to lead may be the important, but that a largely overlooked factor in the 256,000 cardiovascular disease deaths that occur every year. Now, let me tie this together for you. The study suggests that low-level environmental lead exposure is an important risk factor for death in the U.S., particularly from cardiovascular disease. The paper reads that it's not surprising that lead exposure is overlooked. It is ambiguous, but insidious and largely beyond the control of the patients and the clinicians. The researchers used data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey to study blood lead levels of 14,000 people who were 20 years old or older between 1988 and 2011. Now, the 4,400 people who died by the end of that period, those who had high lead levels, 6.7 micrograms per deciliter, were 37% greater risk of premature death from any cause and 70% times greater risk of cardiovascular death compared with people with lower lead levels, 1 microgram per deciliter. Based on these risk several levels, the authors estimated that up to 18% of all deaths every year in the U.S., or about 412,000 of the 2.3 million annual mortalities, could be actually linked to lead. This is crazy, guys. Additionally, the author suggests the current proportion of deaths in adults age 44 and older could have been prevented if historical exposure to lead had not occurred. Now, I'm going to stop talking about this problem right now and give you some solutions on this. The biggest problem that we have with lead exposure in the United States, and we've seen that in Flint, Michigan, is the pipes. The underground pipes, the deep buried pipes, many times in these cities that are buried 20, 30 feet underground that are 100 years old plus, a lot of these pipes have lead solder that has been used to link the pipes together. And so when you put hydrofluorosilicic acid into these pipes, it etches the lead out because it creates an acidic environment for the water to go through. And so it gradually starts to corrode the pipes, which releases the lead into the water supply. Now, for the past 70 years now, we've been basically putting the hydrofluorosilicic acid into a lot of the major cities around the country, primarily to dumb people down and to keep them infertile and servile. It has really nothing to do with tooth decay. And we found that research that on that, particularly when we went into Dachau, the concentration camp at the end of the war, and a year later that we were putting, you know, hydrofluorosilicic acid or fluoride into the water. Remember now, fluoride is also the active component of sarin nerve gas. It's also the active component of Prozac. So all of these different, and there's also antibiotics out there that have an active ingredient of fluorine in them that cause some terrible, terrible degradation to ligaments and to tendons in the human body. So fluoride is a neurotoxin. It's toxic to a lot of other parts of the body, and we're basically putting it into our water supply in high concentrations in some area, which is releasing this lead into the water, and that's one of the problems they're having in Flint and other cities. By the way, there are hundreds of other cities that haven't gotten the information or the exposure or the media blowout, as far as Flint has, about the fact that they have lead contamination in their water pipes. That's why it's so important for you guys to use a point-of-use filter, whether you're running off of a well because of all of the pesticide exposure that you have from the well, or you're running off of city water. You have to use a point-of-use filter. That's why we have the water distillation systems that we sell at Health Masters, because what it does, it pulls everything out of the water, because what it does, distillation separates the water from the contaminants. It doesn't try to filter the contaminants out. The water is converted into steam, goes through, if you have a good unit, a stainless steel condensing coil, which is cooled by a fan, which reprecipitates the water back into a stainless steel holding tank, which allows you at that point to drink water that's completely and totally free of anything. There's nothing in it, especially if you have a volatile gas vent to prevent anything from reformulating back into reprecipitating back as far as volatile gases. So it's so important, number one, you get a good distiller. Number two, you keep it clean. And number three, you don't drink tap water. I can't emphasize that to you. Now, let me give you another thing about lead. Lead's a problem, especially with neural decline, and also it can cause all types of paralysis and a whole bunch of other problems with lead. And one of the things that they discovered in the mid-30s with Germany, they had a huge shipbuilding program going on because they're rebuilding their war machine, courtesy of the Rothschild banking cartel and the Rockefellers, who were basically funding all of this stuff. They basically found that a lot of the painters, they were using lead-based paint on the hulls of the vessels, and they weren't using proper masks or ventilation or body covering. And they were getting covered up in this paint, breathing this lead, and they started coming out with lead poisoning. This is what happened in the mid-30s. So what happened is the German chemists got together, and they tried to figure a way to get the doggone lead back out of the body. And they discovered a compound called EDTA. And what that compound does, it's a chelating compound that pulls the lead back out of the body, gets the heavy metals back out of the body. And they discovered this back in the 30s. So you're looking at 70, 80, 90 years ago. This is a long, long time ago. They had the ability to extract this out. It's called chelation therapy. And they inject it directly into your blood, or you can take it orally, but it takes longer. And they found that the German soldiers who were in this, and the shipbuilders and the painters were recovering from the lead poisoning with the EDTA. Now, what's interesting about this, they studied these guys years later, and they also found they had a much lower incident of heart disease and heart attacks and atherosclerotic plaquing, because not only does it get the lead out of your system, it takes the calcium that's been built up inside of the arteries and it dissolves that, pulls that back out, so you basically renew your cardiovascular system when you use this type of product. That's why I use it on a regular basis. We have the oral form at the office, and I also go in about once every month, once every 2 months now. I started doing this at the age of 50, and I started getting chelation therapy, in which they go in and they inject this compound into you. It takes about 20 minutes, and it takes the first couple times you do it like three times a week to start with. Then you go down to like once a week for like a year, and then you keep doing it like that. And what it does, it basically cleans back out the arteries and the small arterioles. It also cleans out the stuff in your brain, which can cause senile dementia and loss of memory, because what it does, it increases the blood flow back to the brain by doing this and throughout the outer extremities, which massively decreases the risks of coming down with some type of blood-related, as far as poor circulation-related senile dementia and or bad problems with circulation in your body that have basically been plugged up because of the atherosclerotic plaquing. They try to do all of this now with their crazy statin drugs, but they, because they're trying to reduce the amount of plaquing in the cholesterol, now they found out that statin drugs end up causing atherosclerotic plaquing. They cause calcium buildup in the arteries. They actually lead to premature death, and they cause cancer. One of the side effects of all statin drugs is they all cause cancer, period. And so now they're finding out that what they're trying to do simply doesn't work. And it's not the high fat problem that we have in this country, as long as you're not eating trans fats. It's the high carbohydrates, high sugar, high grain compounds that we're putting into our body, which is causing a lot of sugar to be in our system, which is causing extra insulin, which causes inflammation. So you got to be real careful with believing the stuff they tell you. But guys, distillation is the key for this. And I don't know if the exact number is 412,000 deaths every year. That's a pretty strong comment to make in this statement as far as extrapolating that to the total death count. But here's the thing. There's a high probability that a lot of the people that are dying in this country who have neurological diseases and or neuromuscular diseases is because of lead poisoning, because of the lead in these old city pipes off. So what do you think?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it's sad, and it definitely needs to be addressed. And, you know, I mean, the biggest thing people can do right now is making sure you have purified, clean water. That's why we like the distillation system so well, because, I mean, water is essential to life. You can't deprive yourself from water. Regardless of what's going on, you have to drink water, and you need pure water, because as you just explained, these contaminants, these toxins, they build up in the body, and they're not healthy at all. Also, too, in other natural health stuff that's going on right now, another study came out again showing that the essential oils that a lot of people are so fond of right now, that are so popular in the health market, including lavender and tea tree oil, have again been shown to contain chemicals linked to abnormal breast growth in young boys. Back in 2007, a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine found that the repeated use of lavender and tea tree oil products could possibly cause male gynecomastia. Researchers also previously determined that lavender and tea tree oil have estrogen-like properties, as well as testosterone-inhibiting properties. Well, in this new study, the researchers decided to take a hard look exactly what compounds and lavender and tea tree oil were to blame. They found that eight components were particularly suspect. And they didn't go in here to list them. They said in a lab test on cancer cells, they found that all of these compounds impact estrogen and testosterone in the body in one way or another. They said even freakier, many of the compounds that the researchers tested also appeared in at least 65 other essential oils. They said the fact that these oils contain mimic estrogen mimickers is also concerning for women as well. So be sure, if you guys are looking at a lot of these essential oils, you know, make sure you're doing your research on them and you're using specific ones for what you specifically need. And don't just be inhaling and using and rubbing these on you all the time, because this stuff, I've read some of this stuff before. There's definitely can be some negative stuff with it. So just be very wary of that and make sure you know what you're putting on your body with a lot of these oils that are out in the market right now.
You're absolutely right, Austin, because a lot of them are amazing healing agents. I remember years ago, several years ago. This is a crazy story. I'll tell you guys about it. It's weird. I ended up getting a cyst on the end of my nose. This is really strange. And it got really infected. I had no idea what was going on with it. It hurt for weeks. And suddenly it started turning into like a wart looking thing. I'm thinking to myself, you gotta be kidding me. Now I'm getting a wart on my nose. This is just perfect for TV. I'm going to love this. And, you don't want them going in there and chiseling away and hacking away and, you know, messing up your face if you're not careful because you get a plastic surgeon. So I ended up getting some oregano oil. I called a friend of mine up, and in fact, she basically, it's a good friend. And I said to her, I said, what do you do for like warts and things like that? Because I explained to her what happened. She said, oregano oil, you put a drop on your nose right where that spot is about 5 or 6 times a day, like every couple hours. Just go in the bathroom, just put a drop on it. And Austin, it took about 4 or 5 days, and that whole wart area started turning white. And then all of a sudden, it was just gone. One day I was like touching it with a napkin, and it just disappeared. It's wiped off. It kind of dissolved it. And I thought, whoa, how interesting is that? Now, I'm not saying that that'll treat everybody's warts. I have no idea if it will or not. It sure worked for mine. So the natural oils are a really, really good remedy for a lot of things like that. But like you said, be careful and know what you're putting on your system and also know the source of what you're putting on. Now, I'm going to change the subject totally. I'm going to change the subject here. You know, about 6 years ago, I had a dream. You know, it was a strange dream. And it was one of those waking dreams in which you kind of are in this state that you really know, you think you're there. And I was praying and in the dream. And God spoke to me audibly in the dream. And when he spoke to me in German. And it changed my whole life. And Austin, you know that's true. It changed my whole life. And it changed everything about what my life was. It was so real to me. I woke up at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was soaking wet in sweat. Couldn't go back to sleep. In fact, I was so sweaty. I was so wet that I had to get in the shower. I had to get in the shower and take a shower because I was so shook up from the dream. Now, that was one of those things that when I talk about it, it still affects me emotionally. It affects me emotionally here 5, 6 years later. It completely changed my entire outlook of life when the Almighty speaks to you. And he spoke to me in German, which, I mean, is really strange to me. Even though that was my first language that I learned, it just seemed strange when he addressed me in German. So a friend of mine sent me, I'm not going to mention any names here today, a friend of mine who's a regular listener of the show, he sent me an email today that he had a dream last night. Now, I'm not saying that this dream, that you should take anything from it or not. This is just a dream. And I'm just saying that but this guy has enough credibility with me. I'm going to read you what he said in the dream because it shook him up. And it's one of those dreams. When those kind of dreams shake you up, they really get your attention. And he goes on. Here's what the email says. Ted, I've really been pondering about what you've been saying lately. Trump is a tough guy. He's an alpha male that seems to be scared of nothing. I believe that God raised up possibly the only American that could have gotten elected as a deep state outsider. That being said, I pray for him and the safety of his family. However, I was awakened last night with a nightmare that Kushner threatened the life of Ivanka Trump's favorite daughter as well as her children. In my dream, he made this threat directly face to face with Trump. I remember it seeing Kushner's face changed in that moment to something non-human, and he laughed at Trump. And for the first time, I could see that Donald was scared. And I could see capitulation in his face. It was like I was there, but it's weird. And it wasn't in the White House. I don't know where it was. The evil laugh woke me and scared me, and I was not able to go back to sleep. This guy's a real alpha male. This is a big guy. Because I'm not easily scared, but this was evil, and I'm still trying to shake the feeling. After prayer this morning, I feel better. He says, am I crazy, or do you think God is trying to speak to me? And, you know, I don't normally do dream interpretations on this show. I don't do that. And I want you guys to realize that I'm not saying that I'm giving you some type of insight as to the meaning of this dream. But here's the thing. We all believe very, very, very heavily in Donald Trump. We all really promoted him, if for no other reason, was to keep Hillary Clinton out of the White House. So what I basically told my friend was this. You know, we all have to realize that this guy has been put in a position, has been, you know, right now, that he was probably not supposed to be in. Hillary Clinton was supposed to win that election. We know God Almighty directly intervened in this thing. We know that. And we prayed for that. We know that happened. But Trump's in a situation that, you know, Robert David Steele called him the accidental president. And Steele also said that he thought that the Kushner could be a honeypot situation, which he was set up by the Mossad to marry, you know, Ivanka in order to control Trump through the grandchildren or through the family internet through the ties of the family. Now, whether any of that's true or not, I don't know. This is all speculation on my part, so I'm not going to say, you know, that's according to Ted. I don't do that. I'm telling you what I think could be the possibility. So when we all start to wake up and we start to see things, I think that God will reveal things to us in dreams. And I believe that this gentleman that I've known for many, many years who wrote me this, who's never written me a letter or an email like this before, I believe that he probably had a true, kind of like a Daniel dream. I really believe that something happened and he basically saw what was really going on in the White House. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. You know, I'm not speculating. All I know is this. We've got a president who is pro-Second Amendment all the way through, ran his entire campaign on the Second Amendment, ran his campaign on cleaning out the swamp, ran his campaign on all the things he knew we wanted to hear, ran his campaign on getting vaccines, we looked at as far as safety, ran the campaign on all of this stuff, and suddenly we've got, you know, Goldman Sachs in his administration. Suddenly we have him wanting to seize guns from people, directly infringing on Second Amendment rights. All of these things are happening from the same guy who spoke all of this stuff. So do I believe he could have been threatened by a group of people who know him? Yes. Do I believe that a group of Secret Service agents who were working with Mossad could have threatened him? Yes. Do I believe that Jared Kushner could have threatened him? Yeah, I do. Because remember, Kushner is a member of the Shabbat cult. The Shabbat cult is a doomsday cult. They think that human beings that are not Jewish and part of their cult basically are just goyim or dogs or trash, and they're trying to do and bring in the kingdom of Israel, so to speak, as a world ruler with the greater Israel program. You think, well, are all Jews involved in this? Absolutely not. I've told you guys that so many, many, many times. You got the progressive Jews, you got the contemporary Jews, you got Hasidic Jews, all these different sects of Judaism. But we've got a group of people now that are actually involved in Kabbalah, in the worshiping of fallen angels, who actually worship and practice from the Zohar, and all of the things that they believe, and all of these weird things, and some of this, how should you say this, almost like a wizardry type of situation, and they're tying it together with other world leaders. Are they the only ones involved in it? Absolutely not. There's a whole bunch of people who aren't Shabbat who are also involved in it, and a lot of times it's because of greed. The Bible tells us where there is jealousy and envy, there is every evil work. And we see that over and over and over again. These guys can never have enough money. They can never have a big enough yacht. They can never have enough planes. They can never have enough anything. It's all about greed and attainment on this earthly plane. Guys, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, we've all been promised six, seven, eight decades. Maybe we die earlier, maybe we die later, maybe we make it to 90, maybe we make it to 40, who knows? It depends on how long. Sometimes we may have an accident and die at very, very young, like kids do on motorcycles all the time. But guys, the entire thing that we have on this planet cannot be about material gains, material wealth, and material success. You've got to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You have to have that, because that brings you the righteousness, peace, and joy. Nothing else will do that, because you'll never fill that God-shaped vacuum that's inside of you with stuff. You know, how much stuff do you need? How many storage houses do we need to rent? I mean, what in the world are we thinking? What in the world are we doing, guys? It's so very important that we understand that. That's one of the qualms that I have with some of these nonprofit ministries that boast that they've got over $1 billion in assets and $1 billion in cash on the books. You know, why isn't that money being used to save the lost? Why isn't that money being used to bring Jesus Christ to the world? Why do they need a fleet of jets? Why do they have to have all of this stuff all of the time, without thinking through where this money should be and how it should be used for the best of their abilities? Guys, I don't have a bit of problem with a pastor having a plane or a jet if he needs it to travel for his conferences or whatever he's doing, for his business or for the church. I have no problem with that. I don't have a bit of problem with them having a nice home. I don't have a problem with any of that. But they don't need to be carrying hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in their bank accounts when it could be used to feed the poor. It could take care of widows. It could take care of the infirmed. It can be used to bring the gospel message of Jesus Christ around the planet. When I see them do that kind of stuff, and they don't do what they need to do as far as that, but they're a nonprofit organization which brings money in without having to pay taxes on it, I have a problem with that, because it has to be more about having the biggest church. It has to be. I don't have a problem with mega churches, but there has to be a bigger goal as far as obtaining and helping people to obtain salvation. It has to be about that, bringing people to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I want to share with you guys just real quick about that dream that my friend had, because I think it's a pretty credible dream coming from the guy. I tell you what, it's one of those things. If I had not had the dream that I had that shook me up like it did, I don't know. But I tell you what, when you have one of these waking dreams like this, that you really feel like you're being led by the Holy Spirit, it'll snap you up tight and get your attention really, really fast off. So what do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Some dreams can be pretty, they can shake you up in the middle of the night. There's no question about that at all. Also, too, there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now about trying to get this spending bill passed. I've been reading some stuff about it. A lot of weird stuff going on with it. They're trying to, again, they're back on this DACA nonsense, DREAMA Act. The one other thing that I saw today, too, that nobody's talking about, I'm seeing multiple reports on, is that Paul Ryan is essentially trying to sneak Feinstein's fix the NICS bill into the multi-trillion-dollar spending bill. I've been reading some stuff over this day, and he even said this today in his own words. Actually, it was yesterday. He said, I think we should do fix NICS. He goes, I agree with it. He said, there's something, that's something that we're discussing with our friends right now on the other side of the aisle. Now, the weird thing about this, and this is what I've tried to talk about before, the last year they tried to do this already, and it got pushed out of it. And apparently, Feinstein has gotten Paul Ryan to capitulate to add this back into the bill. And Feinstein and Chris Murphy were the co-sponsors of the NICS bill. Break this down real quick. The NICS is the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. It is what you run through when you go fill out a form at a gun dealer to buy any firearm to make sure you're basically not a convicted felon. That's pretty much what it is. It's been plagued with issues from the beginning back in the 90s. However, it still works moderately decent for what it is. They're using this now as a ploy to say, well, there's been loopholes in it. There's people that have gotten through that shouldn't have bought guns, like the guy that was dishonorably discharged out in Texas and so forth with like that. What nobody wants to talk about, though, is that the whole amendment of what they've added in there with the Fix NICS gun control bill is one of the main aspects of it, is it creates a whole database and a whole search option in this background check system to check everything, including all the Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, CHIP, Obamacare, insurance, everything, to troll basically for anybody that's applying that has ever had PTSD, ADHD, Alzheimer's, depression, anything of that so forth, basically as a mental health problem that could be classified in the DSM-5. The issue with what it's about to do now is if they get this through, this will be another way to basically prevent any law-abiding citizen that has previously or currently has had any type of medical or psychological issue, even if it's something as basic as being classified with ADHD or anxiety, it's going to flag you in this system that they basically added in there, again, preventing you from being able to actively use your Second Amendment right. So the fact that they're trying to put this in the spending bill is egregious to me, because this is a bill that needs to be in there. The Fix NICS is a bill that should be considered separately, where it can be supported or rejected on its own merit. I cannot stand these stinking slimeball congressmen that get these bills like this and want to put them into something like the spending bill, the same garbage that we just had Rick Scott do down here, where it was essentially the Child Protection, you know, School Act that allow teachers to be armed and add more money for mental health care and everything else, and then they go in there and restrict anybody under 21 from owning a firearm or buying a firearm and making bump stocks a felony and turning around and being able to essentially take anybody's firearm they want at any given time if they feel that they're a threat for any reason. This is what they love to do now, is to add these amendments into these bills, sneak them through, the same thing they did in 1986 under the Firearm Protection Owner Act, preventing us from being able to purchase any machine guns made after May 1986. This is what they're great at. Now, I just got talked about this on Monday, but I wanted to make sure I touch base on it a little bit further so you guys understand what is about to start happening with this stuff and the bill that we got down here in Florida. This happened last week as the headlines read, police seize first firearms under Florida's new gun control acts. The Broward County judge last Friday issued the state's first order removing guns from a person under the Florida's gun control law. Four firearms, including 267 rounds of ammunition, were ordered to be removed from 56-year-old Lighthouse Point man who was determined to be a potential risk to himself and others. The guns and ammunition had been removed and the man was taken to a hospital for involuntary psychiatric treatment under the Baker Act. The man is also now prohibited from trying to purchase, possess, or obtain any guns or ammunition from any source. The new law gives law enforcement new power to take action when they have evidence that a person may pose a danger. Point Mayor Glenn Trost said this is not about the Second Amendment. He said we need common sense gun laws, and this is a common sense gun law that gives police officers new tools they need to protect our community. First off, anytime you hear anybody in power over you say this is a common sense gun law, that is a big fat red flag that should be waving above their head immediately to let you know this has nothing. This is all about using verbiage, again, like they like to do, to make the masses and psychologically train them into believing you are either for common sense gun laws or you're essentially an idiot that's not for common sense gun laws. They love to do that to put you into one or two brackets. This is classic. George Bush did this with making everybody feel like we had to support invading Iraq. You're either with the terrorist or you're with us. With the terrorist or with us. Well, golly, I mean, do I want to be with the terrorists? No. Do I want to invade Iraq? No, not preferably. Is that the only option, George W., A and B? There's no C or D available here. I'm either a terrorist or I'm supporting a full invasion of a country that doesn't need to be invaded. The same thing they do here. You need to be are you for common sense gun laws? No, I'm not for common sense gun laws. I'm for completely idiotic gun laws. How's that? No, exactly. You can't answer the question. It's a loaded question. So anyways, they go on to say here, this is how fast this happened. The Lighthouse Point Police made the request Wednesday, March 14th in the afternoon, basically to go in and request to take this man's firearms. By Friday morning, the judge had granted them to go in and take the firearms after they basically used as evidence. They did a welfare check the week before, and they said the man was behaving strangely in his condominium building. They said that he basically had no prior history arrest in Florida. However, he had been arrested in Pennsylvania. Police were called after the man turned off the main electrical breaker to the condo. The man told the officers he was being targeted and burglarized by the FBI and a neighbor that lived in his building. He said he could not describe the neighbor, but he stated that the neighbor could shapeshift. All right, so this guy's obviously got some weird stuff going on in his head. I got that. So they basically take this evidence right here to the judge Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon. They get a warrant on Friday to come in and seize the man's firearms. The officer said they saw the weapons in the home after they did the welfare check and used that as evidence to go in and get the warrant. The man was involuntarily committed for treatment in a separate proceeding and is not known when he will be eligible for release. So they did two treatments. They Baker Acted him, then used that as an excuse to say he's crazy, we have to take his firearms. Am I saying this guy isn't crazy? No, I have no idea. He may be loony or a nutbag. I don't know. But the thing about it is, the man was not able to attend the firearm restriction hearing because he was being hospitalized. Get what I'm saying there? He could not go to court to defend himself on why he needed the Second Amendment because they kept him hospitalized under the Baker Act. That is one aspect of this that I did not agree with. Now, of course, under the requirements of the state law, Lighthouse Point said the police and the man whose guns were removed is due in court on March 28th for a final hearing to determine if the guns and ammunition will be removed and restricted for a year. At the hearing, police will have to present more evidence to keep the weapons in their custody for the next year. And of course, like I told you guys before, any violation of this court order will be a third-degree felony, punishable by 5 years in prison. If the judge grants the 12-month request, get this, police can then seek an extension on the order even further if they are still concerned about the man having access to the firearms for an indefinite period of time, meaning they can now file an extension and essentially completely restrict this man from owning or possessing any firearm or ammunition the rest of his life if they have the ability to do so. The police chief said people who oppose the law should know that officers had to go through a process to prove the judge they had valid concerns. He went on to ramble saying, we're not in the business of going out and violating people's Second Amendment. Okay, I don't know what they just did there. He goes, but in
this particular case, we identified a significant public safety risk of a person who owned the firearms, and we were able to do something about it. Now, like I said, do I know this guy that got basically Baker Act and his firearms taken? No. He may be an absolute just nutcase. However, the aspect of this now is the fact that this is setting a very, very dangerous precedent, because what happens if they start saying, well, you think that the Black Ops CIA is involved in running heroin, or you think the Mossad's involved in pushing drugs in the United States and is causing the opiate problem? Well, that's crazy talk to me. You need to get Baker acted. We basically need to take this to the judge. You don't deserve to have a firearm. You're a nut. You're just a nutcase. This is what it's going to start leading into now. Right now, you may have to be certified crazy to have your firearms taken. What happens next year? What happens in 5 years when they add another amendment to this to start making more things that you can do, or you're a danger to yourself or others, that are applicable to restrict your firearm rights to have? So this is something that I just wanted to kind of touch base on. I had a few people email me about it this week, ask me about it because they had heard about it. So I wanted to really let you guys know exactly the scenario that happened. And yes, he did have them taken. And yes, they're going to court on March 28th to see if they can do a 12-month extension. And then after that, they can, if they can have validity with their argument, they can actually extend it indefinitely to make this man essentially a felon, because if he's in possession of any firearm or ammunition during this firearm restraining order, he will be charged with a felony. So in essence, it essentially takes your gun rights and makes you a felon if you possess any guns at all.
You know, Austin, I've never seen a shape-shifting reptilian entity, okay? I've never seen one, okay? But the Bible talks about how Satan runs about masquerading as an angel of the light. It also says he showed up as a snake in the Old Testament of the book of Genesis. Now, whatever that metaphor means, maybe he was a real snake crawling around. He changed his form. I know when you look at the Aztec temples, they said that he was able to change his form and his shape. I mean, you know, number one, I'm not saying this guy is nuts. I'm not saying he's not nuts. I'm not saying he was speaking metaphorically or he's speaking truth. I don't know. You start talking to some people about this kind of stuff that we're talking about today, about people have dreams about something changes the shape of Jared Kushner's face and it's a dream. And, you know, it goes through 10 or 12 people. Now they're saying that this person saw a shape-shifting reptilian alien, right? And all of a sudden now they come take your stuff away. Well, here's the thing. You know, we're Christians and we believe in a supernatural. We believe in a power other than ourselves. We believe that there are things out there that go bump in the night. You know, we believe in all that stuff because, you know, we know that it's true. We believe that Jesus walked through a wall, that he was dead on the cross, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. Okay? A lot of people are now saying that Christians have a mental disorder and they're sick because they believe this stuff.
Yep.
I mean, they're actually saying this, guys, that, you know, that we believe a certain way that makes us mentally ill, which in their minds would prevent us from owning a gun. A lot of these people that are against gun rights are against white Christian males in general because they think we're nuts. Now, you think are they really like that? They're really like that, guys. They really think that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe he's the Son of God, you believe that God basically raised him from the dead, and you believe all of this stuff, which we take all by faith because none of us were there. We believe it all by faith because we know when we accept Christ, he changes us on the inside. Our entire countenance changes. Our entire personality changes. We have a true born-again experience, and we have made him the Lord of our life. It happens. Totally changed me. Totally changed me from just crazy heathen guy who was at Florida State University to completely different. I remember one time I shouldn't tell you these stories. I had a girl who was married, and she just thought that I was the neatest thing since sliced bread because I ran around on a motorcycle and had a black leather jacket like the Fonz, that kind of stuff, right? And I remember she was married, and I was in great shape because, remember, I had won Mr. Tallahassee a couple years earlier than this. I was always in great shape in college, still in good shape for a 62-year-old guy. And I remember she came up to me one day. She was a teacher's assistant in one of the psychology classes that I was taking at FSU, and I was taking another graduate class one day, and it's after I had become a Christian. And I'll never forget, her name was Cindy. I remember her name. She came running up to me. She goes, "I got to talk to you for a second, Ted." And I said, "Yeah, what's up, Cindy?" And she goes, "Say it ain't so." And so I said, "Say what's not so, Cindy?" And she goes, "I heard you had become a Jesus freak." That's how we taught back in the 70s, Austin. They had the Jesus freaks. And I looked at her and I said, "What does that mean?" She goes, "Well, I hear you've become a Christian and you're like a follower of Christ now." And I said, "That's absolutely the truth." She goes, "You mean you're a Christian? You mean you've changed? You're not the way you used to be? You know, we all really liked you the way you used to be." And I said, "Well, I didn't like me the way I used to be." And I said, and I knew that there was something I needed to change. And when I had the opportunity, I was exposed to the gospel. in a way that I understood it, I accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. She's like, wow, I never thought that would happen. See, this is how they look at Christians, guys. They don't see us as people who really have reality. They see us as someone who believes in an invisible God in heaven, who believes in a guy who died on a cross, who rose back from the dead, who basically believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that they don't understand that because from a logical standpoint, it doesn't make any sense to them. That's why a lot of these guys who are basically, how should you say, they're atheists, okay? Because they can't believe in what I just told you that I believe in. Lee Strobel put a text out this week, and I like this. He sent it out as a tweet. He says, to continue in atheism, I would need to believe that nothing produces everything, non-life produces life, randomness produces fine-tuning, chaos produces information, unconsciousness produces consciousness, and non-reasoning produces reason. I simply didn't have that much faith to believe in all of that stuff. See, this is what the atheists believe in. So when you believe in a God, when you believe in Yeshua, when you believe in a Messiah, when you believe that you can be changed and born again, when you believe that the blood of Christ continually radiates through the entire cosmos because of scalar waves and it continually restores you to the DNA of Christ, and we have been healed because of his blood, when you believe this kind of stuff, they think you're nuts. Because they just think you've lost it. Because they don't believe that way. See, that's what's very, very important. So when a guy says he sees a shapeshifter, I'm not saying he saw a shapeshifter. I'm not even sure what he meant by that. I'm sure if you ask him that question right now, he'd probably be changing his answer because of what he's gone through. But the reality is this. You can't knock another person's faith or another version of their reality because you don't want to agree with them. Because you don't know what they've seen. You haven't walked in their shoes. You haven't done what they've done. You know, I know a good friend of mine one time, we were talking and he was going through a divorce and he goes, it's so hard for people who have not been through a divorce to understand what it's like to go through a divorce. And I looked at him and I said, you're absolutely right. You know, it's so hard for a person who hasn't experienced pericarditis to understand that pericarditis is not a joke and you can die from it because they don't understand it because they haven't experienced it. Unless you've broken a bone. You can't understand how much pain it takes to deal with a broken bone initially, especially with the onslaught, with the trauma from it. Or if you've had to have back surgery because of L4, L5, you know, compression of your vertebrae and you've got a pinched nerve, nobody understands how much pain that is until you've experienced it. So guys, I'm in this situation here in my life. People say, well, you think so-and-so's born again? My response is always, I have no idea. And they're like, well, why do you think that? Why are you not giving your opinion? I said, look, I don't know what's in their heart. Now, it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and the Bible lists them down. So here's the acts of the sinful nature. It says, these people that are exhibiting these acts, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. They can't be saved. Does that mean today or tomorrow? I don't know. Does it mean that they still have a chance for repentance? Yes, because there's only one, the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is the only thing they say is an unpardonable sin. So, I mean, we've all got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And when someone says, I had a dream, that was their dream. You weren't in it. You don't remember it, okay?
Yeah.
And so you've got to realize that these things are very real to the people who have these dreams or have these visions or see these things. David Icke believes in shape-shifting reptilian entities and aliens, okay? And a lot of people say he's completely loony to him because he believes this stuff. But when you question him, he's never seen that or he's not talking about seeing it, probably because he doesn't want to be put in a little padded room, Austin. I don't know. But that's why we all have to be careful. All of us have to understand that all of us have our own set of experiences. We've all been through a lot of different stuff, and we all need to have respect for people when they have opinions that are different than ours. Now, should we allow people to blaspheme our God and our Savior? Absolutely not. We should put a stop to that and say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. Should you read material that is really weird and gets into satanic weird stuff and imagery and all that? Absolutely not. I don't put it in my brain. Don't want to read it. In fact, if I ever get a book by accident like that, I toss it, get rid of it, just get it out of the house. Don't want it around. Why is that? Because I don't want to know that stuff. I don't want to know how these sick minds operate who satanically sacrifice little children. Now, the thing about it is, why are they not going after these people who have intentionally abused children, who are pedophiles,
yep.
Austin, who go to pizza places and order children off a menu, supposedly. I mean, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But why are we not going after these people that do this? Why are we not going after the CIA that's bringing in trillions of dollars worth of you know, $1.5 trillion worth of heroin into the United States, making the third largest commodity in the world behind oil and natural gas, to fund their black operations and to do all the sick stuff they like to do. Why are we not talking about those guys? Why are we not taking their guns away, much less some guy who basically some neighbor says is nuts? Guys, remember, anybody can say you're nuts. Anybody can say anything they want to say about you. Then you got to prove yourself now that you're not nuts. But in the meantime, they take all your stuff. Absolutely ridiculous. Well, good story, buddy.
Well, yeah, and one thing I wanted to add to that, too, the one thing about this, because I've pulled this up on like five different news sources to try to get the exact details of what was going on. And so far, the one of the neighbors complained basically that he was belligerent in the hallway, like he was, you know, kind of arguing with him and so forth. But so far, there have been no claims that he threatened anybody, that he brandished a firearm, that he said that he was going to shoot anybody or anything at that matter, nor was he running around with any loaded firearms on his person, breaking, you know, open carry laws or anything like that. So my whole aspect of this whole bill that they signed that was supposed to be basically to protect somebody or take their firearms away if they were a grave danger to themselves or others, now, just in the first situation, we're basically saying this guy shut the breaker box off to the condominium and he says that his neighbor's a shapeshifter. That's enough now for us to seize all his firearms. Why don't you get some type of order basically saying, you know, if you violate any type of code laws in the building, we're going to arrest you or we're going to cite you for vandalism. Why is that not being addressed here? If I go and shut the breaker box off to a condominium, that's vandalism. That doesn't constitute a Baker Act. That doesn't mean that I'm a grave threat to anybody in the vicinity. That doesn't mean any of that. So the whole concept of this bill that they added in there was to prevent somebody away from their firearms if they were immediate danger to themselves or others. All the evidence that I'm pointing here has not shown that this guy threatened anybody with a firearm, that he said he was going to injure anybody with a firearm, yet they had obviously just from this enough ruling by saying he's nuts, what he said was crazy, this is what we need, judge, and the judge said, okay, here you go, sign off, warrant, take all his firearms, Baker Act, and boom, done. That is the creepy part of all this. That is exactly what you just said. Anybody now seems like they can say, you're nuts, doesn't matter what's going on, you guys need to go investigate him. And if the cops basically are irritated, or they find that you're not cooperative, or that you say stuff that basically they don't agree with, or they deem you to be nuts, they have the right now to take your firearms. Very, very scary place that we've reached now here, at least in Florida, with this being pushed so quickly without any vote from the Florida population. Also, too, in other news, I want to touch base on this real quick now, as the giant bully of the world, the United States, has now come out and threatened that they will sanction any European firms that get involved in the Russian gas project. This just boggles my mind how far afield the U.S. thinks they have the ability to run now. The U.S. State Department has now issued warnings over penalties against corporations engaged in the construction of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline, claiming that Russia project will undermine energy security in Europe. No, it won't. It'll destabilize the Qatar project and won't keep the Saudis in complete control of the gas. The pipeline project was started in 2015 as a joint venture between Russia's Gazprom, including France, Austria, Germany, as well as the British-Dutch multinational Royal Dutch Shell. The pipeline running from Russia all the way to Germany under the Baltic Sea is set to double the existing pipeline's capacity of 55 billion cubic meters per year. A spokesperson from the U.S. State Department said that Washington would introduce punitive measures against the participants of the energy project. The measure could be implemented by the means of the provision in the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctioning Act. At the State Department, they said, we do not tend to comment on sanction actions, but we've been very clear that firm steps against the Russian energy export pipeline sector could, if they engage in any type of business, they will be exposing themselves to sanctions under the CAATSA, which is what I just said. Earlier this week, 28 Senate Republicans and 11 Democrats signed a letter urging the White House to use any tools at its disposal to prevent the construction of the Nord Stream 2. This is crazy now how far we're going out of control with these borderline, if not wartime, sanctions to force any company in the world to capitulate with our demands if they do business with Russia in any way. Because remember, guys, the Qatar pipeline ran all the way up through Turkey, went right up through Syria. This one as well will run straight through Iran and go directly into Syria, right out into the Baltic. They do not want to allow Russia to have that type of control and power with their pipeline, because then the more sanctions that they put on Russia will have little effect, if none, because they will have the ability to do so, and it will massively take a huge chunk of money out of the Saudis and Qatar because of the monopoly they own on oil out there and the ability to control the entire market. So I find this crazy, Dad, that the United States government is so brazen, they are now threatening anybody that engages in this Russian pipeline to be sanctioned, even if they're in the EU, man.
It's about the petrodollar, Austin. They want to continue to trade natural gas and oil and petrodollars. And this is all about the Greater Israel Project. This is all about taking over Syria. It's all about running the gas pipeline through Syria, from Qatar. This is what started the Syrian civil war when they wouldn't do it because they had Russia as an ally. All of this stuff is about the money. These guys don't have enough. And the sad part about it is our technology is so far advanced now. We don't need natural gas. We don't need oil. We don't need any of this stuff anymore, except for maybe for some lubricants, except for to keep machines running, because we have the ability to generate energy without having to use these types of petrochemicals anymore. So it's just all about controlling the masses. This reeks of the Rothschild involvement, the central bank's involvement, and the Rothschild money control as far as these petrodollars and how we're basically trying to maintain the value of the United States currency. That's what all of this is. Guys, thank you so much. Great show today. I enjoyed the show today. I love you guys, and I appreciate you so much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for, being part of our family. Thanks for getting your vitamins from us and your multiples from us and for listening every day and sending us all these emails you send us. Thanks for just being here. Thanks for praying for us. We got to pray for you guys again today. You guys are awesome. You guys rock. I just really love talking to you guys every day. I wish you were sitting around the house right now by the fire. We just sit here and chill out and just have some fun just talking about all the stuff we talked about today. I appreciate you again. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys, absolutely. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for the support and prayers and emails that you've been sending us on a regular basis. We really do appreciate all of them. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. Also, too, be sure to check out all the different specials and promos that we have going right now, along with the Doug 30 Multiple Powder Discount, DOUG30, on sale, 30% off on the Multiple Powder. We appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.